Ron Van Dam, a man, a microphone, and a complete lack of conversational filters. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, sure, why not?
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program of enormous proportions. I am Ron Van Dam. My name is in the title of the show. That should make it easy for you. You relax, I'll take it from here. I'll start by entertaining you with my pantomime act. I do it every once in a while. Here we go. I'm stuck in a box. I can't get out. I'm putting my hands up in the corners of the boxes in order to force my way out of the box, but I am not able to do it. Wait a minute, here's a piece of rope. Maybe if I pull on the rope, something will happen. I'm pulling on the rope. It just keeps pulling and pulling and pulling, but nothing happens. Maybe I'll go upstairs and see what's going on. Oh, I'm going up the stairs. I'm still going up. I'm still going up. I'm still going up. I'm still pulling on a rope, and I'm still stuck in the box. Pantomime apparently gets me nowhere by virtue of my actions. Maybe I'll go to my magic act now. Oh, forget the pantomime. That didn't work out. I'll do my magic for you. Here's a deck of cards. Please pick a card. No, not that one. Yes, okay. Don't tell me what card it is. The Six of Hearts, am I right? I am right, thank you very much. Now I'm going to make a coin disappear. I'm opening in my hand, in the palm of my hand, I have a coin. You can see what the coin is? It's a quarter. I'm going to now take my magic wand. My magic wand. And I'm going to pass it over my hand, and now the coin is gone. Unbelievable? Yes, it is. I told you that I would entertain you today, and I have done just that. I don't know what more you want from me. I just don't know what more you want from me at this point. I have exhausted every one of my talents in order to entertain you. And what do you do? What do you do? You just sit there. Anyway, welcome to the program. How are you? For those of you that aren't familiar with the show, I'm guessing you're still not familiar with the show. I've been doing radio for 30 years and television, actually, the same amount of time, only not as much. I know. Have I wasted my life? No, because I did other things too. It's not all I did. I ate food and slept at night, so come on. Yeah, I did other things too. I had other jobs. I had a lot of jobs. Everybody has a lot of jobs before they settled into what they're really meant to do in life. And for many of you, that's nothing. I had many, many jobs. I flipped burgers for a while. At a restaurant called Broadway Joe Namath's. Yes, Joe Namath, the football player, opened up a chain of restaurants. The first one he opened up was on Broadway in New York in Times Square. They were looking for a short order chef. I was not one, but I lied my way into the job and held that job for about 3 days. I did that. I tinted eyeglasses for a while, which if I had done it any longer, I probably would have some type of cancer by now. Tinting glasses is not a good idea, chemical-wise. Not a good idea to be in the same room with vats of dye. Not exactly the best health decision. I was a movie theater manager, started as an usher, worked my way up to doorman, became assistant manager, then manager. And then assistant general manager for a while. Oh my God, I love the movie theater jobs. The hours were crazy, but man, that was like one of the best years of my life. And I did that for quite a period of time. I owned my own video production company. And still do. And I also, but I don't do much with it. And radio for 30 years on broadcast radio, oh my God, and television variety talk show for about 25 years. Oh, I did a lot. Wrote a book. Actually read a book as well. I wrote a book about weddings, about crazy brides. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Kill. It was kill. Yeah, I've done quite a bit. I've done quite a bit in my life. Had other jobs too. Was a operations manager for a large printing company. Yeah, did that for 13 years. Did a lot of things at once. Had a lot of things that I did at the same time. Yeah, I was able to juggle. When I was younger, I could juggle things. Not balls. I couldn't juggle balls, but I could juggle jobs and juggle activities and all these kinds of things. I was like a walking appointment book. It's 8 o'clock, I have to be here. 10 o'clock, I got to be over there. 10:30, I have to make it over there. Then, they're going to leave at 10:30, got to be over there at 10:45. That was my life for like decades and decades. I loved it. Now, my ass and I have become good friends because I sit on my ass a lot. When you do radio, do a lot of ass sitting. Not a lot of acid. A lot of ass sitting. I sit on my ass a lot. No, not Lance a lot. No. Ass a lot. Oh, never mind. How are you? I don't know if you can catch it really to any great extent, but I do have a slight cold and I'm getting over it. So I had a cough. When I wake up in the morning, I cough incessantly. As a matter of fact, when I cough, when I get up, I get up in the morning about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning to do this stupid thing. And I get up and I start coughing and all of a sudden all the lights in the neighborhood go on. It's like, is he coughing again? Oh my God, tell him to shut up. Yeah, I must cough rather loud. And then I get it out of my system and I sit down and do this show for you. And I don't know, it's the way it's been for a little while now. I have an interesting guest coming up later in the program. I think you'll find the guest quite fascinating. It has to do with the holiday season. Did you know that the holiday season is here? Did anybody tell you? Did all the Christmas trees around you and all the Hanukkah menorahs, is that a clue that it's the holiday season? I think it is. And it's also, we have a guy who's an expert in fire safety. Believe it or not, the holiday season is probably one of the most dangerous seasons of all. And they'll tell you why. I think you can pretty much imagine, but some of the things you got to watch out for, maybe you didn't think about, but it's probably a good idea. So an expert from First Alert will be joining us. That's a little bit later in the show. I think you'll find it fascinating. I know a lot of people whose homes have burned down because they didn't follow these tips. And you're saying, Ron, you know people whose homes were burned down? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And it's not a story you want to hear, and it does happen. It still does. Yeah, with all your little fuse boxes and your little circuit breakers and your heating elements and your candles and all that, you know, things can happen. Things can happen. Be careful. If I lose just one listener, I'm in trouble. So you must take care of yourself. And that's simply a selfish wish from me, because I don't want to lose a listener, especially not you, especially not you. Yeah, I'm talking to you right through the speaker. I'm talking directly to you. Yeah, you. And by the way, zip up your pants. It's been open through the whole show and it's distracting me. I told this story about 3 weeks ago, if I remember correctly. I'll tell it again because it's just so fascinating how things happen to all of us, but we don't talk about this stuff. It's what my show is based on. I went to a supermarket. It was 3:30 in the afternoon, and I got into my car, and I had loaded the groceries into the rear of my car, my SUV, my SUV, my SUV, SVU, whatever that show is. I just done some grocery shopping, and I'm sitting in the car, and I'm about to start the car and drive myself and my groceries home, and I look down at my crotch, as we all do before we start up the car, right? Don't we all do that? Well, you're in a seated position, and you're about to push the button to start the car, the key, whatever your car does. And, you know, your crotch is like run in front of you because you're sitting down. And I noticed my fly was open, not halfway. That would be like there's something wrong with my fly and it opens a little bit by itself. No, not that. It was all the way open. I mean, all the way. I mean, like, it was like, it wasn't half mast. It was like all the way open. And then I panicked. And I panicked for no reason because whatever the results of my open fly have been, they've already been realized. There's nothing I can do about it now except close the fly now, which I did. But that sent me into an entire review of my day, of every moment of my day, of every waking moment of my day. Where had I been at what time? When's the last time I went to the bathroom? Because I probably didn't zip up my fly after I went to the bathroom. Oh my God, I didn't go to the bathroom today that I recall. My fly has been down all day. Oh my God, where did I go? Well, I went to a couple of stores. Oh my God, I went to stores with my fly open. Did I meet? Oh, yes, I did. I talked to some people. Oh, my God, I talked to people and with a smile on my face, and I shook their hand, and my fly was... Did they notice? Nobody said anything to me. Nobody said... Were people... One person was looking down a lot. Wait a minute. Did they know? And then I got angry at the people that I had talked to throughout the day. Why didn't they say anything to me? How can you let me go through the day? But then how do you tell somebody their fly is open? How do you do that? What do you do? Excuse me, Ron, your story is very interesting. I enjoy being with you, but babe, your fly is open. People don't do that. You don't do that. People, there's no way to get into that subject matter. It's not like, hey, have a nice day. Speaking of day, your fly is open. There's no way to do this. Because if you do it, you're going to embarrass the person whose fly is open. It might be better just to leave them the hell alone and let them go through the day and enjoy their embarrassing situation. Because eventually, when they take their pants off, they're going to realize, wait a minute, my fly's already open. My pants are already coming off. Oh, my God, what happened? So there's no correct way to do this. I'm not going to Google it. Like, what do you do when your fly is open? Quite obviously, the answer is zip it up and just get on with it. Stop obsessing about it. Well, but of course we do. We go through this general inspection kind of thing. Like, oh my God, my fly's open. Are my pants down? What am I doing now? Oh my God. Oh my God. What kind of... And that's why never wear white underwear. And men don't have to do this anymore because underwear comes in colors now. Get the flesh-colored one. Wear underpants that are the same color as your pants, so if your fly is open, there's no way anybody would even know or even care. No, the flesh-colored underwear, that would be awful. Oh my God, no, don't do that. And the whiteies, the tidy whiteies, don't do that. My mother used to tell me, what am I, I'm on speed today? Why don't I shut up? Why don't I shut up? Because I'm doing a talk show. If I just shut up, it would be, look, this is what happens if I just shut up. Actually, that is far more interesting. Anyway, my mother used to tell me when I was younger, because when I was younger, they didn't have anything but white underpants. It's all they had. It's all they made. They did not actually... sit down in a room and say, let's make different colors of underpants. No, they said, no, we can't think that far. It's only like the 50s or 60s. We can't do that. But my mother said, make sure you always wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. It would be embarrassing if they brought you to the hospital and you were wearing dirty underpants. And I kept saying, Mom, what you're saying makes no sense. If I'm in an accident, I'm going to soil my pants because I was in an accident. don't you understand that? Don't you understand the logical progression of being traumatized in your pants? My mother didn't understand that. I grew up thinking that my parental generation, the generation of my parents, was inherently a stupid generation. And I don't mean that across the board. I mean it like in general. Because technology hadn't gone that far, so the impression of a child would be that their parents are eternally stupid because they don't get it. Well, let me tell you something. It's not that the parents are stupid so much as that they just don't care anymore. I mean, I only know what I want to know. Beyond that, I don't want to know. Now, younger people consider that to be stupid. People in that generation consider it to be, I don't have to know anything anymore, so just be quiet. Just listen to what I do know, not what I don't know, because what I don't know, I don't care to know anymore because I don't need to know it. I have learned through my long and lengthy life that I don't need to know everything. I don't want to know everything. I will stop you right there. I know you're explaining something to me. To be honest with you, I just don't care. I'm not going to retain that information because I don't want to. I don't really want to know that. You bother with that. I don't care. You do what you want with it. I don't care how to do that. Call me stupid, whatever. No, I'm selective. That's what I am. I'm selective. It's interesting how we tag people like that. Oh, by the way, see, this is how stupid I am, okay? I'm not from this Facebook social media crap generation. I'm just not. And even if I'm on the end of it, I didn't care to learn it. I just like, oh, whatever, play around with it. What the hell do I don't need it. So every once in a while I go on the Facebook thing just because you're supposed to. And people are tagging me. And I don't know what that is. I'll be honest with you, I don't understand the point of it or like what. Is it that they mentioned my name in something, or they didn't even have to do that? They just thought it would I'd be interested in this? Your thought as to whether I'd be interested in it or not is inconsequential to me. Because like 99.9% of the time, the stuff you tag me for, I really don't care about. You're tagging in vain. You're wasting your tags. I don't know how many tags you get before you run out of tags. Is that like a video game thing? We have to earn your tags? I'm not sure how that works. But you're wasting tags on me. Most of the stuff that you think I'd be interested in, I'm not. I'm more interested in the fact that you would think that I'm interested in that. Every once in a while, I'll take a picture of something I've prepared for dinner because I am I'm a chef. I just love to cook. I love to cook. I love to cook. I love to cook. And sometimes a dish will turn out so attractively that I want to archive it because I'm interested in it. And then I send it to people that I know, and I don't know why I do that. I guess it's a matter of pride at a point. I want you to see something that I did. And then I realize as I'm doing that, people don't care. You know why? Because when people send me pictures of their food or something they're doing, I don't care. I'm glad you're doing that. I'm glad you have a smile on your face. I'm glad you're having a good time. I'm glad that's what you had for dinner last night. But to be honest with you, it's not affecting me in any way, shape, or form. And it's kind of making you look a little superficially stupid. Look, she sent me a picture of her dinner last night. Oh, that's nice. Ron, what are you going to do about that? I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Oh, you're supposed to say that you like it. But I don't like it. Do it anyway. Just do it. It makes them feel good that you like something. It makes them feel like they that's good to be alive, that they have a purpose in life. Really? I have to tell everybody how much I like them all the time and everything they do. I have to show them that I liked what they did. You don't have to, but you really should. That's like common courtesy. It's like, thank you, you're welcome. It's just, you just do it. So I'm sending phony likes. I'm doing it. I'm saying I like it even though I don't give a shit. That's right. That's what you're doing. I'm not understanding anything anymore. Everything makes no sense. It has no significant meaning anymore. It's like that old Facebook friend thing. You know, you're my Facebook friend. No, you're not. You're not my friend at all. I don't know who you are. You've bastardized every emotion, every emoji. You've bastardized everything. You've turned me into a grade school person. I mean, it's not only that I like it, I have to send you a smiley face. What am I, in second grade or something? What are you talking about? I don't send people smiling faces. I'm a grown adult. Sending you little stickers. I mean, seriously, man, what the hell's going on with this? All right, I've been grumpy enough. Apparently, it's my job to be grumpy. It is, actually. Actually, it is my job. It is the persona that I choose to put forth in this program. All right, take a commercial break. Then we're going to talk about the holidays and how it can be pretty nasty for you if you're not careful. You know, I told you a story about my fly being open one day. Well, here's a situation which is a little more obvious than that. And then we'll be back with the guest.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
Martin Amato joins us now. He's a lifestyle expert and he's featured on HGTV and Miami television stations. And he joins us now to talk about the holiday season and some tips about staying safe. Hey, this has nothing to do with gift ideas necessarily. This is different. We're talking about staying safe during the holidays. There are plenty of things that go on that are not so safe during the holidays because of the gatherings of people and the electrical hookups. I mean, it gets kind of crazy. Let's start with the... go on.
No, I was going to say, lots of cooking, of course, that can potentially be a fire hazard as well. So to your point, we're connecting a lot of Christmas lights together. So it's about making our homes beautiful now during the Christmas season, of course, spending lots of time in the kitchen prepping holiday meals. But again, we want to make sure to remember to celebrate safely, Ron.
Well, let's start with the exact holiday elephant in the room there, and that's the Christmas tree. Artificial, real, do tree fires still common?
They are. So the most important thing to remember when it comes to the Christmas tree, whether you do an artificial one or a real one, is to make sure that you place them at least 3 feet away from any heat source. So that includes a fireplace, any radiator vents, even if you have holiday candles, which of course, we love to turn on and light, especially, in a home, it creates a lot of ambiance. But even a simple thing that you can do with that right now, in addition to obviously not placing your tree next to a heat source, is to replace all of your real candles with a real flame with just simply, battery operated candles that look just as good, right? Also, if you do have a real tree, you want to make sure that you check your water levels, because if you have your heater on during those cold winter days, I know there in Boston, of course, it gets super cold. It does tend to dry out the tree quicker. So you want to make sure that, again, you continuously water the tree so that it doesn't dry out. And again, it can pose a fire hazard. And then when it comes to the Christmas lights, of course, you know, don't install more than three sets together on one single extension cord, if you will, because it can overheat your circuit and once again, you know, lead to a fire hazard in your home.
Yes, there. Yeah, if there's three little plug things on an extension cord, then it's meant for three, not for seven. Gotcha.
Yeah, and a lot of times people use like interior extension cords outdoors. You want to make sure that you use the right proper, you know, extension cord, depending on whether it's indoor or outdoors, because, you know, exterior extension cords are meant for use outdoors to resist the weather, you know, rain and snow, of course. And again, it's not going to overheat your circuit.
Okay. It's hard to believe that before they had the electricity and the little Christmas bulbs on the trees, that they used candles on trees. I don't understand how America didn't burn up in one day. That's amazing to me.
Back in the day.
My God. And then they had the gigantic bulb things that you put on the trees, and they were like hot as you couldn't touch the bulbs. So I don't know how people survived
that.
Fortunately, now we can, but we still have to be careful. Let's talk about the smoke alarms.
Well, not only that, but
please. Go on.
No, to your point, go ahead. I was going to say, not only back in the day, not only did, you know, we have those sort of the core that are not safe, but we also didn't have, to your point, you know, smoke and carbon monoxide alarms either, right?
Oh, as a foreseer of questions. Very good. Yeah, no, we didn't have smoke
so that's
alarms.
That's obviously...
Yeah.
That's a game changer, right?
Yeah.
So to make our homes and our families, you know, safer. So according to the National Fire Protection Association, Christmas Day and Christmas Eve have nearly... twice the daily average of home cooking fires. Like I said before, we are spending a lot more time in the kitchen with all those holiday meals, entertaining family get-togethers. And we also see a spike during the winter of carbon monoxide incidents with the increased use of fuel-burning devices. So, you know, what can we do right now, Ron, to make our home safer, right? You want to make sure that you have working smoke and carbon monoxide alarms and that you have enough of them in your home. So not sure if your listeners know this, but you want to make sure that you have alarms installed in every level of your home, including the basement, also in each of the bedrooms. And when it comes to the carbon monoxide alarm specifically, again, in each of the in every level of your home, and also in a very central location outside of each of the bedrooms. Now, you know, you want to also replace those alarms because they don't last forever, every 10 years, right?
Yes.
And when the time comes to do so, you might as well go ahead and update that with the newest technology. So there are new smoke alarm technical standards going into effect now in June of 2024, which makes them actually work even better than they do now. But you don't have to wait until next year to make your home safer, because as of right now, they are readily available at stores nationwide. So, for example, First Alert has come out with a new line called the Precision Detection Alarm. They are readily available at Lowe's, like I said before, and they're tested to better detect fires in homes built and furnished with modern construction materials, where, you know, fires can actually spread more quickly than in older homes. They're also designed to reduce what's called nuisance alarms. So, you know, for example, if you're in the kitchen cooking and you might burn a toast, right?
Yes.
Or there's a lot of steam or vapor going up and it might trigger the alarm.
Yes.
Well, with this new technology, you know, those incidents tend to happen less frequently, which, again, is part of the new industry standards going into effect next year.
Great.
But you can find them as of right now in the First Alert alarms.
Wow. Yeah, and that's the carbon monoxide, too. They pick that up as well, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. With regards to the newest technology, you know, you can basically buy combos. You can buy smoke alarms and carbon monoxide alarms as a two-in-one, which I do recommend.
Yes.
And remember, a lot of these newest alarms, or even the old alarms for that matter, they're very DIY friendly, right? You don't.
Yep.
It doesn't require an electrician to come out. For the most part, you don't need a hard wire, although you do have the option to do so. So it's a very DIY friendly install to make your home safer this holiday season and really throughout the entire year.
Very good. Very important to do. There's no question about that. If you don't do that, then I've heard many, many stories where not doing that is like fatal sometimes.
Yeah, it's kind of like the adage of, you know, better be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't do something right now to make your home safer and your family safer, like, why wouldn't you want to do it? It's such a minimal investment that can be priceless when it comes to the value of your family, first of all, and of course, you know, your beautiful home.
Yeah, especially when you're sleeping. You have no idea what's going on when you're sleeping until it's too late. And that brings me to another point. I want to talk about those heaters that can knock over. I know two people that lost their home because these heaters were... got too hot, they caught fire, and they didn't even know it until it was too late. Again, if you had an alarm, that would have prevented the problem.
Right. And what's really interesting, like I said before about this, the new technology and these alarms is that they are tested to better detect fires in homes built and furnished with modern construction materials. So, you know, we use a lot of synthetic materials nowadays when it comes to like even home decor, whether it's, you know, polyester or vinyl or just other materials that are not basically created by nature.
Yeah.
And they do tend to burn a lot quicker. So the new technology actually can detect those alarms and give you like an early warning, which are great. Not only that, when it comes to heaters, but also just the simple fact that we're cooking a lot more in our kitchens, right?
Yep.
So once again, according to the National Fire Prevention Association, cooking is the number one cause of home fires. So we really have to practice, you know, adhere to common sense safety practices, especially during the busy, you know, cooking season during the holidays. So you want to make sure that you do not install alarms close to like major appliances.
Right.
Again, the good news is that, you know, the nuisance alarms are situations are reduced with this new technology, but you also want to keep fire extinguishing devices easily accessible in the kitchen as well. And it's really important to know how to use them, of course. And
Absolutely.
If you don't, just remember that you always have step-by-step instructions on the outside canister as well.
Right.
Should you, you know, God forbid, have to use it at any point.
Okay. Yeah, a lot can go wrong during the holiday season especially, so make sure it doesn't. Now, what's the website that we can visit to get this list and to check them out?
Great question. So you can visit firstalert.com for more information and home safety tips, as well as information about the new line of First Alert precision detection alarms, which are now, as I said before, available at Lowe's nationwide.
Great. Now we need an alarm for when the people come over to your house that you don't want there. But that's something else. Okay.
Martin, that's completely different, right?
Martin, have a great holiday, and thanks for the information. All right, then. Hope that helped out. Thank you to my guests. Thank you to you for being here today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.